Blog Talk Radio.
You met me deep in my despair to show me you would never leave me there. You claimed me 'cause I was made for so much more. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Oh, heavy with the weight of my mistakes, you carried me and refused to let me sink under the pressure you meant for me to soar. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me, and nothing can separate me from your love. And so much more, still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight towards victory. By the power of your might, you're straightening out my path, closing every door. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for.
Nothing can separate me from
when there's so much more.
Y'all help me say that. Say it one more time for me. It's happening.
sing it for real. Come on, help us sing this song. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, everybody.
The Lord is my shepherd.
He goes before me.
He goes before me.
Defender behind me.
Defender behind me.
Y'all been practicing. I won't fear.
I won't fear.
I'm filled with anointing.
I'm filled with anointing.
Thank you, Jesus. My cup overflowing.
Jesus right there.
He always guides me.
He always guides me.
Through mountains and valleys.
Through mountains and valleys.
His joy is refreshing.
His joy is refreshing.
Restores my soul.
Restores my
with confidence. Mercy and goodness.
Mercy and goodness.
Ooh, oh, give me assurance.
Give me assurance.
Oh, that I'll see your glory.
I'll see your glory.
Oh, face to face.
Face to face.
Hello. Amen. He's my comfort, always holds me close. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I am not alone. Hallelujah, we're not alone. Hey, he's my comfort, he's my comfort. Always hold me close. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I am not alone. Hallelujah. Oh man, we are not alone. We are not alone. We are not alone. We are not alone. We are not by ourselves. We're not lonely. We're not alone. Because the word of God says that he will never leave nor forsake us. Hallelujah. Oh, that's a blessing. Oh, it's a joy to know that the one that created all things is there for you personally. He's right here for me personally, whatever it is that I want to take to him. He's willing to hear it and handle it. His will for my life is greater than anything that I could ever imagine. Hallelujah. I am not alone when it seems like, you know, the money is short and your plan ain't working the way that you thought that it was going to go. You have to just remember the word of God that he'll never leave nor forsake you. You are not alone. He's right there with you. He's going to help you overcome it. He's going to help you through it. He's going to help you conquer it. We are not alone. So what? That relationship died. And that person no longer wants to be your friend, no longer wants to be your spouse. You are not alone. God is with you always. And as we continue to seek him and as we yield ourselves to him, God will show us great and mighty things that we know not of. It's so much in store. For all of us, we should be in the mindset of requiring God's best. Requiring God's best. A lot of the times we want things in our lives and we feel like that this is just good for us, but it's not the best for us. God wants to give us the best. We hold on to mediocrity. We hold on to a lower tier. Ideas, lower tier endeavors, but God has things that's so much greater. You know, we think we've made it when we reach a certain level, but God has so much greater. Greater. You think you know a lot, but God has so much greater. I'm telling you, Lee, you think you have a lot, but God has so much greater. So I say this tonight. Thank you, Holy Ghost, that when we yield ourselves to him, we get out of our own head. We begin to take the limits off. We get out of the box. We spend so much time trying to figure God out. Instead of just having faith in what he says, we spend so much time to try to box God in like a genie, try to put him in this bottle. That will never work. That's going to cause frustration. That's going to cause the loss of time. That's going to stagnate you in your life. But just put your faith in his word. and love him for who he is. For who he is. Not just simply for what you want from him or what he can do for you and has done. Just because of who he is, that's enough. Mm-hmm. God is due all the glory. God is due all the praise. And I'm just not saying this because we're in this setting tonight. This is my life. You know, am I perfect? No. But I love the perfect one. Mm-hmm. And as I continue to nurture my relationship with him, as I continue to grow in him, I grow. I change. I develop. I move from glory to glory. I become more and more like him in my walk. So be patient with yourselves and just know that you're not alone. We are not alone. And the first song that played is that we are worth fighting for. God showed us that. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Man, what a guarantee. Can you imagine it stamped on the side of a product that you bought or something? Everlasting life, stamped right here. Boom. Everything that's sold. That's beautiful to know that that's the word of God. If we put our faith in it, that's what happens. He said he didn't come to this world to condemn it, but through him that we may be saved. So if Jesus didn't come to condemn, guess what? Us being believers and followers of him, we shouldn't be condemning either. That wasn't his mission. That's not his goal. That's not the move of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He says if your conscience don't condemn you, you got to be real with yourself. We have to be real with ourselves. And really ask ourselves, who am I serving? Who am I serving? But that's just a little extra right there. But let's get into the show. Thank y'all for joining in tonight. Welcome to Prophetic Grace Network, PGN, where we not only talk about it, but we are about it here. We thank God for our founders, Randy and Julie Talon, for hearing the call of God and being obedient and creating this platform that has brought so many of us together. So many have come, so many have gone through life changes they've left or through death. You know, they're gone, but many have come in as well and still coming to get what God has for them here. So if you're here tonight, just know by the Spirit of God that you're not here by accident. This is intentional. It's on purpose. It's divine. And this is the moment that you're going to hear something from God tonight that's going to change your life completely. Completely. Most people will stop and change your life. But when you hear a word from God, it does a complete work. Come on, somebody. God doesn't do it halfway. He doesn't do it a quarter of a way or a third. Almost. He covers everything. He covers it all. He does a complete work. And I'm just grateful for that. But I am your host, Terrence, and thank you all for joining us again. My lovely wife, Tanisha, is in the building.
Hello, everybody. Hi.
I don't think they heard
you. I said, hello, everybody.
Wow.
Great message.
What's today's date?
Today is February the 16th. It's 2022. It is 7:27 p.m. Central Standard Time. And like you said, we're excited to be here. Great message. We are believing God for life transforming changes in your life. We are believing for your growth. We are believing for miracles.
Mm-hmm.
We are believing for a renewed sense of purpose for your life, that areas that are dry, that God will water them
mm-hmm.
and bring new life to them. We are believing for the impossible and that we would start having a limitless thinking so that we could accomplish what we're in this earth for. Because we're in this earth for a reason. It's like we're here and then we have all these distractions,
mm-hmm.
all these things that can hinder and stop the goals and the plans, because we're already born into a family that could be kooky, that could be spiritual, whatever. But born into a family, and each family has their own world, right? Their way of doing things, food they eat, thought patterns they have that we absorb. You know, we're born into a certain neighborhoods or states, races. There's all these different things that are always pulling at us and wanting us to follow its set of rules. Then we get out into the world and we intermix with people and their ideas and their backgrounds and all these things. Then we have societal norms and pressures and educational things and the roles that we play. What does it mean to be a mother? What does it mean to be a professional? What does it mean? There's all these things constantly pulling on us while we're in this earth
mm-hmm.
that can distract us. But if we were to remove all of those things and get to the core reason, we're here because God assigned us to be here during this time to do his work, period. And I'm believing that we can take all of the pressures off. We can remove all of the expectations from humans and walk in our purpose fully, which is going to require taking limits off, because it's always going to be where there's expectation, there's limits.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, with certain professions, right? They say, if you want to rise to the top, you got to have a certain type of degree, because you only can get so far. They put ceilings on everything. You only can get so far with this one. So if you want to bust through this ceiling, then you have to get this. And then if you want to bust through that ceiling, you have to do that. Everything with expectation has limitations as well in this earth that is man created. But with God, there are no limits.
Mm-hmm.
We serve a limitless God, because what takes us beyond the ceiling is our faith. That's what takes us there.
Absolutely.
And so we are believing that we are going to just walk in the limitless realm and just trust and believe God that we are going to be like little children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could have been, you know, raised dirt poor, but if your parents said, we're going to Disneyland tomorrow, you believed it. Mm-hmm. You wasn't rationalizing and saying, well, we don't have a car that's going to fit all of us. And, you know, when we do, it's an old junky jalopy, and we don't have money to afford Disneyland, and how am I going to get to school? Don't you got a job? And I know your job. You can't miss anymore. Kids don't think like that.
Mm-hmm.
You got a broke-down jalopy. You got a dirt floor. You got a job that is demanding. And no more time off. You got kids in school. You have no money. You eat beans every day. And if you told your kids you were going to do one, they're going to believe it. Despite.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the type of thinking that we need to have, despite.
That's
it. It doesn't matter what the world is saying. It doesn't matter what pressures and limitations they're putting on us. Despite all that, with God said it, that's just what it is. Period.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my job to stress out about how. That's not my job. Literally, that's God's job. He says, cast your cares onto him. So I'm going to cast the care. I'm not going to care about that because I done gave that care to the Lord. So I don't possess that care anymore. So if somebody asks me, I don't care because I don't have it. I don't own it. That belongs to Jesus. It's my job to just do what he's telling me to do. It's my job to undo some of the stinking thinking and some of the strongholds and thought patterns and all these pressures and limitations. It's my job to fight that. Because
mm-hmm.
we're fighting a good fight of faith. So that means that if you're fighting faith, that means that the things that are coming against you are in direct combat with your faith.
Because
mm-hmm. how do you fight a fight without opposition? You can't fight. There's no fight if there's no opponent. So if the fight is of your faith, then that means that the opponent is trying to take your faith. And all these things are trying to take your faith. Oh, no, I can't do this because I don't have this degree. Oh, no, I can't do this because I'm this, that, and I can't do this because, you know, this background. I can't do this because my bank account is negative 42 cents. I can't do this because those are things that are fighting against your faith.
Mm-hmm.
So it's your job to fight the good fight of faith and know that you will win. And cast your cares and your burden. Cast that onto the Lord. Don't worry about that stuff. Fight the fight of faith. So let's take the limits off. Let's live a limitless 2022. Let's remove the ceilings.
Mm-hmm.
Because the sky is not the limit. There is no limit. We always have these little sayings, right? Sky is the limit. I'm going beyond the sky. That's your limit. That does not apply to me. Because I know firsthand the sky is not the limit because the Lord has allowed me to see heaven itself. So it ain't no limit. I don't believe in no earthly limits.
Mm-hmm.
God can do what he wants to do. But sometimes we are the ones that's in the way. We blame the devil. What if he's so busy? No, it's your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain's busy being negative. Your brain's busy fighting faith. It's you.
Mm-hmm.
It's you. But you don't have to stay there. You can operate on your level of faith because faith is a substance.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody's telling you to, you know, go to a home builder and drop down a $2 bill and say, I want that house on the corner lot. That's crazy. But you could go to the store and buy you a bag of vegetables at that $2. You operate on your level. And then God gives you more. Because if you can handle a little, then you can handle much. So just operate on your level of faith
mm-hmm.
right now. Believe God for your car keys. Quit stressing and yelling at your spouse every morning. And believe God to find your car keys. Believe God that coworker that really works your nerves is not going to work your nerves today. That God's going to give you a different mindset and going to give you the words to be able to deal with that person and maintain your peace. Believe on your level, and guess what? You will grow in your faith. And listen to the word of God, because faith cometh by hearing and by hearing the word of God. So you can't get more faith without that. Just like you're not going to get more muscles if you don't work out. Whatever muscles you got, if you have any, is what you're going to maintain if you don't do what's necessary to obtain more. So operate where you're at and then do what's necessary to get more, and then you'll keep leveling up, right? Because steps of the righteous are ordered.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the higher the step is based on the faith level. So let's do that tonight. Let's proclaim, let's speak limitless living. Because
mm-hmm.
the world got all sorts of, they want to toss you in a bubble so bad. They want to slam dunk you in a box
mm-hmm.
and put that brown tape on it so bad. And then say, you know, you can operate, but only within this box. So you can do you, but only in this bubble. So let's bust through the box. Let's bust through the walls. Let's bust through the ceilings. And let's let God do what he does. Let's let God be the determinant, the determining factor. We talked about that last week, that if we just let God dictate and tell us what to do, then all that other stuff is just other stuff. Because there's always going to be things pulling on you. Your grandma's advice, your mentors telling you, your feelings, right? What seems right. There's all these things that are not coming like the devil with pitchforks and horns and flames. There's all sorts of things that are trying to guide and direct you on the decisions that you make. But just let God make the decision and follow after him. And somebody might say, well, how do I know it's God? By faith. That's how. Sometimes you're going to hear audibly, make a right. And sometimes you're going to feel like, I feel like I should just do that.
Mm-hmm.
He speaks in many different ways. He don't have one way he's going to do it. Look at how he did it with our Bible heroes.
Look at when David was caught, you know, when he did what he did with Bathsheba, and Nathan had to use a whole, like, parable or a story and make it about somebody else, and then be like, that was you. You think Nathan just did that because it was a random Tuesday? God directed him to do that. So God can speak through people. It could be a feeling on the inside. It could be an audible voice that you hear. There's many ways that God speaks. You can see a sign. I remember once when I was moving out here to Texas, that was a huge move for me. I had never dreamed of leaving California, ever. Come on, Californians. You know, we love our state. I don't know if we love our state more than Texas. They're diehards. But we love our state. And so when the Lord told me through a dream that I was going to move out here, I was trying my hardest to, like, make it a pizza dream. And I remember when I got on board, started doing the necessary steps to get out here, and I had to find a moving company to move all my furniture and all that stuff out here. And I still was having some doubts. I think it was more fear than anything. And I think it was more so I just didn't want to do it. So I was trying to find a reason. And so I'm talking to the guy, the moving company, and I gave him my credit card number, all that kind of stuff. I'm like, maybe the transaction will bounce. Nope, it went through. And he's talking, and I'm talking to the Lord in my head. I said, Lord, please give me something. I need to find that this is really what you want me to do, because I'm really putting money towards it now. And, you know, I really need to know that I know. Like, even if I don't want to do it, I just need to know that this is what I'm supposed to do. Please give me a sign. And so the guy said, do you want a tracking number? And I said, yeah. And he says, okay, it's 4J like Jesus, blah, 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 blah. I ain't never in my life heard nobody say the J like Jesus. And I, to this day, I've never heard anybody do that again. But that was my sign. But God kept doing it over and over and over again. I remember one time I was just randomly going to get some dinner. And I was like, I need, like, you really want me to move to Texas? Like, for real? Like, I don't know nobody out there. And it's hot. And there's, I'm like naming all the bad stuff. I'm like, is this where you really want me to go? Give me something, Lord. Please speak to me. And he said, look up. Look in front of you. And I did. And the car in front of me was a Texas license plate, which is something I didn't see very often in California. I'm pretty sure it's more common now as people are intermixing states and moving all around. But then I don't think I ever – it was rare to see an out-of-state plate then. So I was like, oh, my gosh. So – God can speak to you in many different ways. And by faith, just move on it. Because guess what? If you wholeheartedly and sincerely believe that God is telling you to do something, and even if he's not, he's going to direct your path and get you where you need to go. But let's make that the goal, that we are doing, making our decisions based on what we believe God is telling us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because all good advice ain't what you need to do. Because a lot of the times, good advice comes from a place of common sense. What makes sense? Like, it makes sense for you to do X, Y, Z, and if you were to do this, that doesn't make sense. I've told you guys many times where God put me in situations where he had me do things that didn't make any sense. So if I were to take in my dilemma to another human and say, what do you think I should do? They would have told me to do the opposite of what God told me to do, because it just did not make sense. So a person could be well-meaning and really have your best interest at heart and trying to give you the best advice that they, based on their humanity, and it still not be what God wants you to do. And so, and sometimes he will use people. Like I said, God can use whatever, but it's up to you. You know how it feels. I can't, that's the one thing about what you feel on the inside and conviction and whatever, however you feel a confirmation on the inside. I can neither confirm nor deny what you say, because that's something that's personal. So you know somebody's telling you something and it's resonating in you, like, man, I really feel like God is speaking through this person. Or if it's just co-signing what your fleshly desire wants, you know the difference, and God does too. Because sometimes that's what it is. Sometimes we know what God's telling us to do. We just don't want to do it. So we go to somebody else looking for somebody to co-sign what we want to do so that we feel better about our decision. But really, we have ulterior motives. We're not looking for unbiased answer. We're looking for a co-signer.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're seeking counsel, we should be seeking wise counsel. from people who are led by the Lord, not the wisdom of man. Because the wisdom of man is the wisdom of fools. So in order for us to get to this limitless realm, we have to be yielding to what God is telling us to do in our lives. It's going to be so important, especially as the world changes. There's going to be, you know, when you know when the Antichrist comes in a rule, if you really start to study about the Antichrist, and this is something I'm going to start doing more of, I know that there's a Revelation series that comes on Sundays now to teaching, I think at 12 o'clock. So tune in or listen to some of the past shows. It's really important right now for us to start learning about what's to come. When you know in advance and when it happens, you're like, oh, okay, I already know what's going to happen. But something that the Antichrist is going to do, people who have not studied him, right, like the world, they don't know. And a lot of believers don't know because a lot of these people are afraid of, you know, the book of Revelation and that kind of thing. But he doesn't come as a man of war. He comes as a man of peace. He comes like he wants to bring unity. That's where the deception comes in. So if he's coming as a man of peace and unity, that means he's going to say things that what? Make sense. Oh, yeah, you know what? He seems like a good guy because, yeah, that makes sense. He's not coming. It's not going to feel like trickery. It's not going to feel like deception because it's going to make sense. And people are very comfortable doing things that make sense. That is a human comfort zone. You feel good about your decision. You sleep well at night because you're like, yeah, because that makes sense. Except for if the Lord is tugging you and he's like, I don't care what it make. It don't make will. So that's not my will for you. So you're going to have to get uncomfortable. But take peace in knowing that this is what I want you to do. That's where peace that surpasses understanding, because you could do something that makes you uncomfortable but still maintain your peace. How many people do you know in the natural realm are peaceful when they're uncomfortable? They're not, unless they're sedated. And that's kind of what the Lord will do. He'll kind of like spiritually sedate us. Well, we be uncomfortable and peaceful at the same time. That makes no sense. And so the Antichrist is going to come in, and he's going to be making sense. Mm-hmm. Because even the elite are going to be tricked, right? That means believers are going to be tricked and deceived, because the things he's going to be saying sounds peaceful. And we serve the Prince of Peace, right? So we're all, yeah, that lines up, because the Word of God says people going to try to spiritualize it. I'm not going to say we, because I'm not in that group. I'm not claiming that at all. But people are going to try to spiritualize it and say, yeah, because the Word of God says that we should try to, you know, maintain peace at all times. And he's trying to do things peaceful and collectively and put aside differences. And we should just love each other and do what's best for each other as people, mankind, and this, that, and the other. He's going to be making sense. Mm-hmm. And you cannot get caught up in the comfort of things making sense. How do you get out of that comfort? By just doing what God tells you to do. Did it make sense for Abraham to take his son on the mountain to slay him? Please tell me that made sense to you, and I'm going to tell you that you lying. That made absolutely no sense. Did it make sense that instead of the Lord having a motorboat or a yacht or something for the Red Sea, that he had Moses take his staff and put that in the water and just separate the water? Did it make sense that instead of the Lord having the children of Israel when they were in the desert grow food, right, so they could eat whenever they want, because they might have a 3 p.m. snack attack, that no, he was just giving them manna from heaven daily? Did that make sense? Did it make sense that when the wall of Jericho fell, instead of giving them a cannonball, that he had them shout? We serve a God that does things that don't make human sense. But it says his ways are not like our ways and his thoughts are not like our thoughts. So there's a reason to it. There's a method to what appears to be madness. But please believe, things don't make sense half the time. Look at when Haman was coming after Mordecai and all that kind of stuff. Did it make sense? If you knew somebody was coming for you, would it make sense for you to do nothing? But guess what? Mordecai or Haman the very gallows that he made for Mordecai, he hung on.
Mm-hmm.
Mordecai didn't have to do nothing but keep waking up. Did it make sense that David had the king after him? He knows for a fact that he knows that he knows that he knows that he knows that he is God's anointed king. He knows this. And the current king is after him for no reason but jealousy. And he had more than one opportunity to take him clean out.
Mm-hmm.
Did it make sense that he let him go? The first time, let's step into David's shoes. The first time, maybe, you know, okay. But a second time, when after the first time he let him go, he still was coming after him. So he knew that the likelihood of him letting him go a second time was going to result in him coming after him again, that he was going to keep the chase. It wasn't like your run-of-the-mill chase. He was trying to take David's whole life. Does that make sense? That a person who has all the power and authority that's coming for your neck, literally, that's coming for your life, he's coming for your jugular, you let him go and he's still coming for you to say, you know what, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointing, let him go. No, that makes no sense. But Saul fell on his own sword. Shall I continue? The Lord will do things that are in his will for his reasons that don't make sense to you at that moment. See, we have the beauty of we get to read the word of God. We get to see where this person was at this time, and we get to see the outcomes. There was nothing ever, anything that God did that might have appeared nutty that did not work out. But we're like, man, Lord should have did it another way because another way would have been better. No, it all worked out. And then we see that there was reasons behind it. So we can't be comfortable doing what makes sense
mm-hmm.
at that moment. It will make sense later. We have to get comfortable knowing our God and having a personal relationship with him. Because what's going to happen when they cut off the airwaves and all the Christian programming and all that? Now, I believe God is going to set us up to where we can have our own ways of communication. But our own ways of communication might be in our own neighborhood. We might have to go back to just having, you know, church at homes and basements. I don't know. But what's going to happen when I'm not here and Terrence is not here for you to hear, for us to encourage you and to prophesy over you? You're going to need to have, you got to have that relationship with the Lord where you can hear from him to make your steps. The prophet's going to be there. But what's going to happen if the airwaves cut off? You're going to do what makes sense? No. You need to be doing what God tells you to do so that you are not deceived. Because that's why people are going to get deceived. It's coming from a place of people want to be comfortable. People don't like being uncomfortable.
Mm-mm.
People like being uncomfortable. Everybody will be fit. Reason why a lot of people aren't fit is because working out is uncomfortable. Muscles be cramping up, especially after leg day. You can barely walk. And you get to a point where your body's conditioned, but you still have to deal with being uncomfortable. You could be very, very fit, and if you run, you're still going to get winded and all that kind of stuff. Discomfort comes along with conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
That just comes with it. And people don't like to be uncomfortable, which is how the Antichrist goes. Swoop on in. Yeah, let's do what makes sense. You ain't got to think. This is a plan for peace. You ain't got to consult your God. Why would your God not want you to do something that's peaceful and unites people? Isn't that what he came to do? He going to know scripture and everything. But you know better. You can say, yeah, that makes sense. But is this what God wants? And don't wait till then. Get into the habit now. So that you know, because sometimes it's a learning curve. You be thinking of God, and it wasn't. It was not. We've all gone through that. So get into the habit now of knowing when God is speaking to you and moving in faith. You gotta make a habit of walking in faith and getting out of your feelings and getting out of your emotions, because those emotions will pipe you right to the gates of hell. Here you go, like the little mice behind the pipe. Ooh, let me go.
got what you.
Common sense will do it. Well-meaning people who are not led by God, who have intellect but no wisdom, who have knowledge but no understanding. So it's up to you. Because guess what? When we all die, or if we're raptured, I'm hoping the latter for us. But regardless, we all got to stand and give an account to God. All of us as individuals. So we can't use, well, Henry was well-meaning and he told, no. It's on you. So you have to cultivate that personal relationship with Christ. It's on you. God uses all of us to help one another.
Mm-hmm.
But we are accountable to ourselves. What are you doing with your time? This is I'm preaching to me. What am I doing with my time? Am I equipping myself with knowledge and wisdom? Am I saying this is the day the Lord has made? Let me rejoice and be glad in it, but ain't just saying that?
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying I'm happy that I woke up, but then treat the day like dirt and take it for granted? Like, man, I didn't do nothing today because I'll do it tomorrow. These are the things that I'm going to have to give an account to. I can't pull you into it or nobody else. It's on me. And just like it's on you, you have to nurture that relationship with Christ. You need to be making sure that you're praying. You need to make sure that you're in your word. You need to be seeking the Lord while he can be found. You need to equip yourself with knowledge. Like, oh no, that surely that person can't be the Antichrist because they're so peaceful. Really? So you read that where? You really thought he was going to come with some big stomping boots on, like Godzilla just taking over the city? That's not what he's going to do. People are going to like him. He's going to have his false prophet. He's going to perform miracles. You better get known to what's going to happen. So when it does happen, you like, I already know what time this is. You better start strengthening your faith, because so many people, they ride on other people's backs for their faith. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not going to pray. I'm going to have blah, blah pray for me. No, you need to be praying too. I need to know. I need a word. I need to know what the Lord's saying. I'm going to wait to talk to this person. You can't pray? Yes, he uses people and gives certain gifts and talents to people, but we cannot use that as a crutch. We cannot use that to disable us from being able to do the things that we can also do ourselves. God don't say that you can't pray. I can't wait to pray on Sunday. I hear people say that. Who was Wednesday? I can't wait till Sunday to get to church to pray. Why you can't pray on Wednesday? Why you got to get the church to do it? You mean for you to get the church so you got to collect the body of Christ for two or three, like, to get some more people to agree with you in prayer or, like, to, like, for real pray about that situation? I can't wait to get a word from this person. Why you can't get no word? We use what we have available, but we also have to be maintaining our relationship with Christ on our own, because the resources that we have right now are normal can change at any given time. There will come a time where you can't just be on the internet and researching and getting all the information that you need. That stuff's going to get shut down. I know that because God told me that. There's going to be a time where you can't go to the grocery store to just get what you want. They're going to control that. So you need to know what's going on. You need to be strengthening that relationship with Christ. You need to take them limits off. You need to be letting him dictate your steps. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord, not by your grandma, not by your race, not by your bank account, not by your social economic background, not by your degree, not by the neighborhood that you live in, not by how cute you are. By the Lord. Because many steps are in front of you. You best be choosing the ones that the Lord ordered, and the only way you're going to know that is having a relationship. Which pair of steps, Lord? Which one? Because I don't want nothing that the Lord didn't order for me. Return to sender. I'm not showing up to nothing that he ain't invited me to. I am not RSVPing. Decline, will not attend. But it's up to me. That's on me. You can't pray me through. Your prayers can help me, but ultimately I have the will, the free will to make my decisions and choices. Can't nobody supersede that. But what am I doing with my free will? Where am I putting it? That's my decisions. What's ruling my decisions? What's Lord over my decisions? That's questions that you need to be asking yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the Lord. But are you allowing him to be the Lord over your life? In whole, not just the left part of your life. And this, he needs to be Lord over your life, period. Now, oh, well, I already know what to do here because this makes sense. I'll ask Jesus about that complicated stuff. No, you need to ask Jesus about everything. Sometimes that's why we be in the position that we in. I remember when I had found myself in a very bad spot. And, you know, you find yourself in a very bad spot. Sometimes you really be trying to be a victim. You be trying. Oh, bad things. I just don't understand. I serve you, Lord. I go to church. I do children's ministry. Just really whining. And I don't like whining. Ask Terrence. Whining grates my nerves. It is like nails on a chalkboard. So even when children whine, I tell them, I don't understand whining. So if you can use, you know, a big boy or big girl voice, then I can have a conversation. And I talk to kids like that. So all my children that are around me tend to speak like me. Because I don't, you know, when they're babies, we do the baby voice. But once you get a certain age, you and I are going to have a conversation. I'm not going to have a conversation with you with that whining. So you need to stop. Because I want you to be able to identify what you're doing. Me? No. It sounds like a squeaky wheel. I ain't got no WD-40 for you, so you're going to have to stop that and use your big boy voice. But here I was, just groaning, whining to the Lord. I don't even know what I was saying. And it was not the groanings of the Holy Spirit. It was the whinings of a grown woman who could not take accountability for the decision that she had made in her life. That was me. And I know the Lord, he just listened. And finally, I was like, why? And the Lord told me flat out, because you didn't consult me. And man, whew, talk about a dagger to the heart. Because it was true. The Lord don't lie. He's not like man that he should lie. See, people will lie to you to try to make you feel good. It's not your fault, sweetheart. You didn't know. It is your fault. And you didn't know. And if you didn't know, you could have known. Because the Lord, the word of God is clear that if you seek, you're going to find. You wasn't seeking. So you just rolled the dice. And that's what you got. Now you're complaining. Now you don't like it. Oh, it's so terrible. But that's what you chose. But see, we don't want to hear those hard truths. But this is what happens when we don't allow the Lord to be Lord over every area of our life. So here I was in this bad spot, bad things happening. It was just all bad.com. There was no good to be found. And I'm whining, just groan, whining, crying, bubble snot crying and stuff, hyperventilating, just being dramatic. And finally asked, why? I can just imagine that shower scene, why? You know, curling up into the fetal position. That was me. And the Lord said, because you didn't consult me. Did I tell you to do that? And I thought about it. You know, you think about something, but when somebody asks you the question, you instantly know the answer, but you really try to think to get your, No, I didn't. I did not ask you. And he said, this is why you're here, but I'm going to help you out. Because I have grace and mercy. My grace is sufficient. So he helped me maneuver out of that terrible situation that I got myself into because I did what made sense. Oh, that makes sense. It didn't make sense when I was whining and bubble snot crying. That made no sense. But I learned a very powerful lesson that let me ask the Lord. Let me consult with the Father on that major decision. Because just because it makes sense don't mean that's what you're supposed to be doing. That's kind of the lazy way out sometimes. And not to say that just because something makes sense, that it's not the Lord. He don't always do things that don't make sense. There's no formula. See, a lot of the times with believers, what I find, they're looking for a formula so they don't have to have that relationship. So if this happens and I just go 2 pages to the left, no, because he told Moses to go 4 pages to the right. And then he told David to just jump, and then he take this person. So it's not all the same. So you can't say, well, if it doesn't make sense, it's the Lord, so I'm going to do it. No, because sometimes things make sense that he tells you to do. The whole point is quit looking for a formula and just listen and seek his face and his voice. Seek his direction, his guidance. That's it. That's the formula. Prayer in relationship. That's it. Not religion, but a relationship. I'm telling people who know me, I have a distinct voice. I could be out somewhere. They could be out somewhere. They don't know that I'm where they at, but they can hear my voice and say, where's Tanisha? I know her voice, Tanisha. Haven't seen me, but heard me. That's how you got to get with your relationship with the Lord, where you like, Jesus, I know that's you. Because the more you grow in your relationship with people, you identify them. There's identifying things about everybody. And the same with the Lord. There's a feeling. Terrence and I was looking for a house. I kept telling him, I said, I'm going to know when it's our house because there's a feeling. He was getting frustrated. We was both getting frustrated. But that's all the best way I could describe to him. I was like, it's going to be a feeling I get. I can't describe the feeling because it's something that's internal. Mm-hmm. I can tell you the best way I can with human terms about something spiritual that's happened in me. And that's how it is even when I know God is telling me to do something. Sometimes I just be dead wrong and I know it too because conviction has a feeling to me. It feels like signs or something like skull and crossbones going up. I mean, I can't describe it, but it feels like something that's trying to stop me. I'm saying you're taking stuff too far. Feeling that I get. It's not always, and it don't always make me feel bad. It just lets me know. It's almost like a yield. Like, nah, that's not what you want. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. It's a feeling. But in order for you to identify those things, identify how God's speaking and his presence and how he feels, you have to cultivate that relationship with him. You got to do the work. So let's do a collective prayer and then we'll pray over calling us. So I thought Terrence was going to take over tonight. I ended up taking over. This is, you know, like we always say, it's completely unplanned. You want to do a collective one? Okay. That's what my husband has spoken. And I know that God leads him. But we're going to do a collective prayer. We're not even going to individually pray over. We're going to just do a collective prayer tonight. We got about 20-something minutes. But, you know, before we do that, before we had came on, the Lord had given me a scripture. Well, he gave me a whole chapter to read. So let's read that because we have about 20 minutes before we would normally be off. Because, again, I'm not going to do individual prayers. We're going to do a collective prayer over us tonight. It's probably going to be a long one because I can feel it in my spirit. Because I know that feeling, like, you know, when God is stirring you up. But let's read Psalms 41 tonight. I want to read this out of the Amplify, and I'm going to read the entire psalm, so including the header, which says, the psalmist in sickness complains, ooh, of enemies and false friends, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. So let's start with verse 1. Blessed by God's grace and compassion is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will save him in the day of trouble. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive, and he will be called blessed in the land. You do not hand him over to the desire of his enemies. The Lord will sustain and strengthen him on his sickbed. In his illness, you will restore him to health. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. My enemies speak evil of me, saying, when will he die and his name perish? And when one comes to see me, He speaks empty words while his heart gathers malicious gossip against me. When he goes away, he tells it everywhere. All who hate me whisper together about me. Against me, they devise my hurt, imagining the worst for me, saying, a wicked thing is poured out upon him and holds him. And when he lies down, he will not rise up again. Even my own close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me, betraying me. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and restore me to health so that I may repay them. By this I know that you favor and delight in me because my enemy does not shout and triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity and you set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, from this age to the next and forever. Amen and amen. So be it. So that was the scripture that the Lord had for me to speak over us all tonight. So let's do our collective prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for this day. I thank you for this night. I thank you for this network. I thank you for everybody who's tuned in, whether they tune in now or they tune in sometime later, whether it be by computer, by phone, no matter what, that some other place, podcast. I thank you for their life, Father God, because they matter to you, because they're here in this earth at this time for your purpose and your reason. And Lord, we just pray that we will take the limits off. We want to take the limits off, Father God, so that we can expand, so that we can reach where you want us to go. Let's take off the boundaries, Father God. Let's take the boundaries off of us tonight, Lord. Take the boundaries off of your people, Lord Jesus. And help us to have a desire for a strong relationship with you, to where we hear you in the middle of the night and we know it's you, where we feel you and we know it's you, where we smell you and we know that it's you. We want intimacy with you where we can identify you in the midst, where we can identify you in the chaos, we can identify you in the stillness, where we can identify you so that we are making decisions based on the steps that you ordered, not the steps and pressures of the world, not the steps and pressures of all the other things that's pulling and tugging us, but we want to only place our foot on the steps that you have ordered for us, Father God. Help us. Help us to do that, Father God. Help us to accomplish it. Lord, help us to walk in wisdom. Help us to forsake and kill our flesh daily, like Paul said he did. Help us to not seek comfort all the time, but to seek purpose, to seek will. Give us a hunger and thirst for your will to be done. Nevertheless, not our will, but for your will to be done, no matter how uncomfortable it is, no matter how much we don't want it at that moment, no matter how much it doesn't make sense at that time, but help us to put our trust and faith in you. Help us to be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word, written and spoken to us from you. Let us walk in your goodness, Father God, in your grace and your mercy. And we just thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. And Father God, we just pray against deception that's trying to come on the body of Christ. Even now, there's a conditioning that's happening right now because people are tired. And so people want a time of peace. They want a time where they don't have to think. They want a time where things are easy. But help us to keep our eyes on you and to keep our focus on you, that if we are able to, if you have us going through it, that we can sustain it, that we will have self-doubt and self-talk. We'll talk ourselves out of the place that you have us in. I can't deal with it, but we wouldn't be dealing with it if we were not dealing with it. If we're dealing with it, it's because that we can deal with it. So help us not talk ourselves out of an opportunity for strength, out of an opportunity to grow, out of an opportunity to see you work, to see your wonders, and to see how you get us through things, for us to walk your word, because your word says that when we're weak, you are made strong. But a lot of times we can't even walk that word because the minute we're weak, we run and we go seek comfort. Help us get comfortable being uncomfortable, if it's for the sake of your will. Help us to deny the things that we desire so that we are operating in your will, Father God. It's time for us to stand out. It's time for us to take our place. It's time for us to remove the distractions of the world and all these things that are pulling on us daily. And to let the only pull be the pull of you, the tug of the Holy Spirit within us. We want to be used by you fully, Father God. We don't want to be useless. We don't want to just be doing things that bring enjoyment and entertainment. But we want to be used to make a difference in this earth during this time that you have assigned to us. Father God, help us to make the tough decisions. Help us to do the things that are hard but that are necessary. And help us to know that that's not what our walk is about. It's not always hard. That's subjective based on how we view things. It could be challenging, but we can see the benefit of it. Help us to eat right and be healthy and work out so that we're not chopping away at our lives. We want to be around to do the work. Help us to not dig our own graves with our spoons and forks. But help us to be disciplined, to drink our water and to work out and to be healthy. Help us to surround ourselves with like-minded people and to not indulge in the rots, the gossip, and the things of the world that serve no purpose, that just clog us up with junk. Help us to not want to be entertained all the time, but to not just be readers of the words, but to study it, to study the word, to want to know what's going on in our world, because it's all there. There's nothing new under the sun. And you have not withheld the knowledge from us of what you are going to do in this earth. Help us to seek it and want to seek it so that we know what's going on for our own benefit and so that we can let others know, we can warn others when the changes come. Lord, let's pray healing in our bodies, supernatural healings, Father God. Pray against stomach issues and digestion problems. Pray against high blood pressure. I pray against heart conditions, Father God, and dental issues and bad backs. I pray against problems with the joints and arthritis. Pray against early onset Alzheimer's and even advanced Alzheimer's. And I pray for people's minds to be clear and at peace and right in the right mind. Pray against mental illness, that illness will be healed in Jesus' name. I pray against paranoia and anxiety right now, that the Lord has not given you a spirit of fear, but of peace and of a sound mind. I pray peace over the minds of your people, Father God. Sound sleep. Pray against insomnia that's trying to rob people of their sleep. Pray against timidness and being afraid and low self-esteem and people pleasing. I pray against that right now. Let us be pleasers of you, Father God, not pleasers of people. Let us be bold, even if we're shy. Let's not be timid and not be intimidated by man, because if you, God, before us, who can be against us? Pray against blindness in the natural and in the spiritual. Let the scales fall off, Father God, so we see ourselves for who you created us to be and that we walk boldly in who we are. So many of us are trying to be something that we are not. Let us accept who we are and be the best who we are in you. I remember a time, Lord, where you told me I was a prophet, and I told you I didn't want to be a prophet. It was weird to me. And I ran from it. But when I finally accepted who you made me to be and desired to be the best of who you created me to be, you honored that. And it gives me peace and it gives me comfort and it gives me joy to operate how you created me to operate. Let all of us be able to have that same joy. Let us accept who you created us to be. Because we all desire to, at the end of this side of eternity, when we face you, to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Help us to be good stewards of our finances, Father God. Help us to be good stewards of our children. Help us to be good stewards of our businesses and the job position that we're in. Everything that you have placed in our care, custody, and control, help us to be good stewards of it, Father God, and increase us. Give us supernatural wisdom in areas that we don't have schooling or we haven't had earthly education. But wisdom supersedes it all. Give us what we need to be successful in life. Nobody wants to be unsuccessful. Help us to have success in not the world's definition of success, but your definition of success. And help us seek your definition. Everything is defined in this earth, Father God. We want to operate based on how you define things. Help us to do that. Help us to go against the grain when your definition is in direct opposition of the world's definition. And help us to stick to what you're saying. And help us to walk in love and be able to minister to people, whether it be verbally or with our lives and the examples that we lead. And Father God, I just pray the anointing over your people's lives, the Holy Spirit anointing. Help them to expand in their gifts and to operate fully in them, boldly. And help us to have unity as the body of Christ despite our differences. Help us to be one. Help us to be one. Lord, we just love and we honor you and we thank you and we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for tuning in tonight. We're going to wrap up. Go ahead and call back at 8:45. Hit 1 to put you in the queue. Typically on Wednesdays, Randy does a message. And then he prays over everybody that has their hand up. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We love you. And until next time, good night. Amen.